3, 2, 1.
This podcast is brought to you by Manly.ie, Ireland's pharmacy for men. Manly.ie is a dedicated space for men's health, wellness and grooming online. Access practical online and face-to-face advice as well as in-depth product range tailored to support men's health in Ireland. Visit Manly.ie for more and you can follow them on social media.
Joined now by Willie Mayer and Graham Clark to look back on the weekend of hurling action, where finals are decided now for the Leinster and Munster finals and third spot and the Joe McDonagh Cup final, and we should have Niall Moran in the next few minutes as well. As I suppose the big thing after the weekend is there is a lot of people now giving out about, I suppose, the comparison between Munster and Leinster. I suppose ultimately Waterford were, I suppose, everyone's second team to Limerick, predicted to reach the Holy Grail this year, but they didn't get out of their group in Munster. Is Willie, I suppose, coming to you first, like, John Fogarty had a piece today saying maybe that fourth in Munster should be getting out ahead of third in Leinster. When you look at, I suppose, some of the teams, Kilkenny have had to be, for instance, Laois, Westmeath and Dublin. Like, what's your thoughts on the format at the minute?
I think, just as it was, we're all sore in Tipperary at the moment as regards the way that the season panned out in the end. Everybody knows the rules, so whether that's fair as regards, yes, there might be a slightly different standard in Munster and Leinster, but at the same time, both Tipperary and Waterford knew they had to win X amount of matches to qualify, and we didn't. And from a Tipperary perspective, we lost four games by an average of 9 points a game. Like, you know, we can have no qualms with any kind of system. We didn't get out. We're out of the championship, and it's not June. But I Waterford obviously are very, very disappointed as well. And everybody's, I suppose, second team, and just never got going in that Cork match 2 weeks ago, and the weekend as well. So it's cutthroat business. Munster Championship always has been. Championship hurling is that, and I suppose it's on one hand, people are crying out for that knockout nature. And then, you know, obviously articles been written by John Fogarty like that today as well on the other side of it. But at the same time, both Tipperary and Waterford knew the terms of engagement over the last couple of weeks. They didn't come up to it, and they're gone out of the championship, and that's high level sport.
What's your view on the current format, Graham?
I don't know, but I just think maybe people have to think back to maybe 7 or 8 years ago, where Tipperary, Cork, whoever lost their first round games would be out now. You know, I think the format's very good, and I think Munster has shown that it's absolutely cutthroat games, championship, and the people are voting with their feet. They're going to all these games, and now I've only been at 2 or 3 of them, but Paul, the serious attendances at these games is, there's not very many games in the Munster Championship where you're saying, oh, Jesus, there's not too many people turning up, and, you know, these are dead rubber games, you know, which might happen and might happen in the future. But, like, Tipperary still had their 3 or 4 games. Tipperary fans were able to go to these games. Yes, you might say some of the games in Leinster were dead rubbers, but I don't know. I don't know, lads. I think there's not much wrong with it. You could talk about an open draw, etc., but there's a lot of kids after games. There's a lot of supporters went and watched a load of these games, you know. So, yes, Tipperary didn't have a great game, get great Munster Championship, the same as Waterford, but in another phase or another type of competition, those teams were made out. 7 or 8 years ago, those teams were made out after a month. You know, they've been gone long ago. So, yes, they might need to tweak it somewhat, but what do you do, Paul? Like, you can't keep Tip, and you can't keep Waterford, and you can't keep Dublin in the championship and give them another round robin to get them jumped in there. That's the only scenario you could do. You could do, like, a Tip, Waterford, Christy Ring type, or not Christy Ring, Joe McDonagh type round robin, get them back in there. But is that fair then? You know, so, like Will says there, they all knew at the start of the season the way it worked, and you know, I also heard an argument there as well, lads, about the Kerry getting jammed in there, Antrim getting jammed in there. And the proof of the pudding will be in the eating here after the semi-finals and the Munster Championship to see if Munster is weaker. Because, like, if you think back to 4 or 5 years ago, a lot of people said Munster is a far stronger championship. And then ended up Kilkenny Galway were nearly ended up in the two semi-finals or the two finals. So, no, it remains to be seen. I think that, yes, your man has a good point, Fogarty, but I thought some of the games were outstanding in the Munster and Leinster Championship there, you know.
Graham, you mentioned Kerry there. I just want to bring you in here, Willie, because if Kerry win the Joe McDonagh Cup, it looks like they're going to have to play a playoff against Tipperary. Personally, I think Kerry, if they win the Joe McDonagh like Antrim, they should be entered in to their provincial championships. They might suffer some beatings, but, like, why should they have to play a playoff and then Antrim go straight into the Leinster Championship, for instance, if they win it?
Yeah, I think it's just bizarre as regards that Kerry have to play a relegation, a promotion match. If they win next week against Antrim, I think they should automatically qualify for a Munster Championship and let them play and you know where they are, I suppose, and try to, I suppose, to bridge that gap on that relegation match. That's going to be if Kerry don't win the final, it's a relegation match, as you said, I think, in Tralee against Tipperary, which is, you know, it's a really, really hard game for Tip again, because, like, you know, we're on the ground at the moment. Things within the county are not. Everyone's disappointed, like, and supporters are disappointed. So that'll be a big match if it comes to pass for us, because, you know, that's the last way you want to end the season. But I think on your point, I think if Antrim qualifies straight for a Leinster Championship on winning the final in a week's time, great. But I think Kerry should be given equal status.
Yeah, Graham, it's something you really have to feel, that Kerry should be entered in. The only thing is here, a lot of people are going and highlighting this in the media, so it is getting a bit of traction. I just hope a lot of people get behind this, to, I suppose, so common sense can prevail.
Yeah, but, like, you know, some of these things that certain guys are bringing up, or certain things have been brought to the fore, and you know, is it going to be addressed at all playing that game? I don't know. Like, if the rules are stated at the start of the season, it'll be hard to change that, Paul, in mid-season. Like, but I do think, why should Kerry have to play a relegation or a promotion game and Antrim not? Like, and I think Antrim even would be the first guys to turn around. You know, it's not fair. Like, you know, and, like, I was just thinking that the other day as well, lads. You know, does it benefit Kerry? Does it benefit Kerry getting into the Munster Championship next season? Oh, I don't know. Like, they're progressing well on, you know, they've progressed well this season from the start of the season, the first Joe McDonagh match against Down beat them or whatever. But they've steadily got better. And from somebody that knows, if you have a full season of playing Tip, Waterford, Cork, I think it would be punishment. Like, do you know what I mean? But here, that's just my opinion. Like, you know, you want to get better, but getting beat 6-20 or 4-20 or 2-20 every week I don't think it's good for Kerry. That might not happen. The Kerry man might turn around and say, who are you to say that will happen? But I suppose it didn't happen to Westmeath. If Kerry could get a wee brucey bonus like Westmeath got against Wexford, you know, that would be another scenario. But in Munster, I just can't see some of the big boys letting up at all, you know, especially if some of them round robin games comes down to, if you're on equal points, comes down to scoring difference. Kerry could be cannon fodder for some teams, but somebody like Malumphy or some of these guys would probably be better explaining or better talking to you about that. Like,
you probably would have to leave them for a year or two in this Munster if, say, it's to become a 16, really, and try and let them develop, because ultimately you can't put them up there for a year and let it turn into kind of a yo-yo system.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think if it's going to be done, which I hope it is, it has to be a longer term project than a year, because as Graham said there, you don't want to become cannon fodder and the team where teams are eyeing up the score difference to really go at you in matches. So look, I think for Kerry Hurling, which is, you know, there's a lot of very proud people down there, and you know, they've been, you know, successful in the club intermediate championship this year as well. But I think that, look, it, as Graham said there, I need to ask them the question. Ask Stephen Malumphy and guys that are playing and involved in Kerry Hurling. Do they want to go? And that would answer the question very, very quickly. I suppose the first thing is they want to win this final, and it's a massive game against Antrim. And I think it's been great the last couple of weeks, I suppose, with Westmead getting 3 points in the Leinster Championship from the win against Laois. And the draw against Wexford, like that's progress. That's big progress for Joe Fortune and his backroom team there in Westmead. So I think, I think Kerry deserve it, in my opinion. But it'd have to be a 2 or 3 year project, because going up and being cannon fodder for a year is not what they want.
And this is all going on if Kerry can win the Joe McDonagh Cup, beat Antrim. Obviously, if they're defeated, they'll enter into the All Ireland Parade. It'll be interesting to say it, that Cork will be playing Kerry in an All Ireland preliminary hurling quarter final, which is something that gained traction. Lads, there's no better place to start over the weekend. We've talked about Waterford being everyone's second team, but we have to divulge into this a bit. They've won the league title, they were flying it. They looked if they were Limerick biggest challengers. Did they peak too early for you, Graham?
Probably did, you know, and probably some of those guys have, you know, a lot of the Munster teams maybe maybe they've showed too much of what they're about, because you know yourself, with the video analysis and the way things are going, Waterford would be well analysed on the way they're playing and the way their forwards are moving. So I would say they probably have peaked too early, and it's not easy at that level, you know, and I think it's been proven they've peaked too early. Like, you know, I can't see any other reason for their free fall, like, to be quite honest with you.
And Willie, like, you know Liam Gall, he's been one of your teammates. Like, you were Waterford, one of Waterford's biggest fan. You loved the style they played, but like, where did it all go wrong?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one, because they were going so well, and I don't really buy into this kind of, you know, they peaked too early or whatever else. Like, I think, you know, they did well in the league, obviously winning a national title, and that's something I suppose that Liam will reflect on and go, okay, we did something again this year, irrespective of what he does with the Waterford team in the future. But I think they'll be very disappointed with the way they've gone. I think the players, I suppose it has to go back to the players. Like, and like, even in that match against Limerick, when they scored the two late goals, the match had gone away from, I think it was 9-1 to Limerick after the break, and are in that kind of moving quarter, and the two goals glossed up a kind of a 3-point defeat. I think they didn't, obviously, they went into that Cork match, and Liam again had blown it up as regards to said, look, this is a really, really important match. This is the most important match of his career in Waterford. I think the players didn't respond, and whatever that was, I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of the camp and what's going on there. But I know Liam is a very honest character, and I know Mikey Beavens is a brilliant coach. So, like, I think the players might have to look at themselves here and just say, look, what happened? Because again, Cork were on the ground going to Welsh Park. Yes, everything was on the line in one match, but they came up and Waterford didn't. The match the weekend, I don't know what happened. I was glued to the tip match, and they were destroyed. And it was a carry on from that Cork game, where just they weren't competing. They weren't, I hate to say intensity, because it's a kind of a very loose term, but at the same time, they gave just Waterford, or gave Cork too much space, and ultimately they gave Clare too much space, from what I'm hearing in that match. So very, very disappointed for Liam and his management team, because as you said, I was a huge supporter of them, and the way they went about their business in the last 2 or 3 years, the trajectory, as we discussed before, had been very much up over that period of time, and it's after coming and falling off a cliff in the last two games, and just personally very disappointed for Liam, and I'm sure he'll be seeking answers, and that's how thorough he is to see what happened and what you can learn from it.
We have Niall Moran here on the line as well. Niall, like, as a Limerick man, you probably thought Waterford were going to be Limerick's biggest challenges this year, but like, where do you feel their downfall was?
First of all, I mean, thanks for having me. Kind of an impact sub. I think the two boys were get tired there. Willie never had much in the legs there, and Graham. Look, I suppose, huge disappointment there. I suppose the one part there is sometimes when we had it ourselves in Limerick after our rare run to an All-Ireland final in 07. We started off 08 with huge expectation. And even in that year's championship, we went out to play Clare, a game we'd been expected to win that year. And the thing just went belly up on the day. And then the wheels just fell off the wagon spectacularly, to the point of within a week of losing that match, lads were really hoping the year was over. And I sensed a little bit of that with Waterford. I suppose they seemed to become disillusioned. And all those good habits and all those feel good things that you'd have that they'd have built up over the last 6 or 8 months, all suddenly they became issues. Like, that superb fitness they had and all that body of work, suddenly that became an issue whereby we've been overtrained. Tactically we're set up in such a way, all of a sudden after losing below to Cork, you threw the toys out of the pram. You went looking for solutions when maybe the biggest solution was just to keep a calm head, take stock. And sometimes in the midst of all the chaos, that's the hardest thing to do. And I suppose one thing about Liam, and again, he's a fabulous coach, but he's a very emotive coach. And sometimes that is a huge thing that players love and they buy into, especially at the age bracket that he's dealing with in Waterford. But it can be your biggest enemy sometimes, because when you've put so much into it and you've invested so much, you're trying to drive home an answer to the problems that might have only been needed of the mildest of tweakings. And I think they came to Ennis, a team who just wanted out. They were done. They were finished. And I suppose even if they'd had a week extra of a break, it's amazing what that week could have done. It could have actually just allowed lads to have a few points Saturday and even a few or Sunday after the match and go again on the Monday. And it's amazing what that would do to lads. I know we're all saying we're the most professional athletes and all the rest, but they're human beings after all. They would have just, their morale and everything took such a battering after that Cork game. And sometimes you just needed to take stock and reflect. And I think Cork were given that little bit of space, and it bought them just enough time to turn the thing around. And ultimately that is the difference, and Waterford's year has obviously ended now. And I suppose, again, one thing I'd say is it's probably the time where Liam might just have to bite his tongue and hold tough, because there is a huge body of work there. Do you know what I mean? Next year comes around quite rapidly, and you will learn lessons from that,
Do you think, Niall, they put a lot of energy into that, like mental and physical energy into getting that result against Limerick in the Gaelic Grounds?
I'd imagine that they would have. I think the result, probably the end result, camouflaged a lot of what would have went down. So it wasn't that they were running a slate for being beaten by Limerick, because ultimately you're saying, well, they're the best team in the country. So it wasn't going to take a big hit like that. And you have to remember, when they went to Cork, like, there was big buzz in Waterford. Do you know what I mean? There was none of this talk about them being downward slope. So, no, I don't think so. I just think they got stunned against Cork. I think they believed what was written and they were a little bit naive, and they went in blind. And they got suckered, and it's a sucker punch they never recovered from.
Yeah, and Graham, like, that probably was the thing. Like, there was so much hype everywhere about them.
Yeah, if you ever take a couple of teams there, and you're totally motivating them for one game, and you're defeated, and then you say, right, lads, let's get back on the horse again. Let's go back to basics. Let's do A, B, and C, and you're defeated again. It's an awful blow for you, and you start second, even as a player, you sort of start second guessing, is the systems right? Are we doing the right thing? Are we fit? All those questions start answer, you're sort of doubting yourself and doubting the system and doubting everything. So, and when you're in that Munster Championship, I'm sure, I don't know now, Niall and Will could say better, but you have to have full belief and full sort of buy-in from everyone and see even 4 or 5 players maybe sort of doubting the way they're playing and maybe confidence low. It's an awful blow for you, and I do feel sorry for Liam, you know, like at the end of the day, his teams were flying there, and the level of progression within Waterford was excellent, and the level of expectation. And I was one of the players, people myself, that turned around and said, "Oh, the best panel of players in Ireland, bar Limerick or whatever." And I think maybe that's a weight of expectation as well, you know. And then even Paul was just thinking there, were teams going full tilt during the league? Were teams at the level? And you start querying that as well here, you know, won the league or the won the league, but were teams at that level? And it actually would query you to think to yourself, well, you know, how much emphasis did teams put on the league? You know, so there's all them questions, and you feel sorry for Liam Cahill, and you feel sorry for the likes of Colin Bonner, and they just didn't have enough time probably with breaks in between to sort of jump back on the horse again. And but they'll be back, you know, they're a young team, they'll be back, and it's just one of them things of sport.
What do you think here, Willie? Do you expect Liam Cahill to stay on with this group? Like, he did talk that he's going to have a lot of conversations with the players, I suppose later on when the dust does settle a bit and they can reflect.
Yeah, I think it's reflection time at the moment. And like you say, they're the first kind of emotion you feel is that anger or that grief at a loss. So I think Liam is long enough in the tooth to, I suppose, to take his time and to make sure he's making the right decision for himself. I think I imagine he will stay with the group. I suppose the fact that he committed to Waterford last year in the face of, I suppose, the Tipperary job being there as well. I think that was testament, I suppose, to the belief he has in this group. So yeah, look, not qualifying will be a huge blow to him and, you know, everyone within the county. But at the same time, I think Liam is, look, he's experienced enough to realise at this stage that, you know, he just needs to step back. I suppose look for answers off the group as regards to see what the players think and what the would all involved think. Because again, being that cool character away from the emotive character we see on the line, he is very strategic. He understands, I suppose, the importance of just appreciating the temperature of the organisation and the team and just seeing where that leaves them. But bitterly disappointed by winning the league in a canter when you look back on it, flying out of the traps, not against Tip, but getting a, you know, 4-point win when possibly Tip, you know, had a great chance to do something that day. But again, the Limerick, Cork and Clare defeats. Look, a four game league phase, you know, there's no room for error here. And I think, look, the best teams are through. Limerick, obviously, Clare have been obviously the team of the Munster Championship to date, and Cork have been in the last two games excellent. So look, the best teams are left in the Championship, and Waterford and Tip can't complain, because as we said, they knew the parameters at the start, and it's about winning games, and neither team did enough.
Just on Tip, Willie, obviously didn't win a game in the Munster Championship. There was an article during the week where with the Irish Examiner, I think you're included in it yourself, of the fitness levels of this Tipperary team. Like, there seems to be a lot of question marks over it.
Yeah, I think I think I was probably that was quoted in isolation as regards on one of the points we were making that last night. I think it was in Tip FM. But look, just as a Tipperary supporter, I think everyone is very, very disappointed. And similarly to what I discussed before at Waterford, it's about looking for, you know, cool heads at this time, looking to see and just, I suppose, understand. We're after losing four games by huge margins. Like, everything is not right in our county. So I suppose fitness was the piece that was picked up, I think, at the Examiner. But there's a good few bits and pieces that, you know, we need to get answers as regards on how we can make ourselves better and more competitive. Like, getting beaten by an average of 9 points in the Munster Championship over four games is not the Tipperary, I suppose. I grew up, you know, in the late 80s, and I'm very, very proud of the way the team played and won all Ireland's at that time. But this is, you know, those kind of defeats are massive. And I think in such a hurling mad place, we have to kind of look, strive and go, okay, how are we preparing our teams? How are we putting together, I suppose, underage squads? How are we bringing players through? And look, there's a huge conversation I think is needed in Tipperary at the moment to understand that before we can start making decisions. And look, this is not a blame game. It's about, look, trying to find a solution and try to find, you know, again, beaten by an average of 9 points over four games is something that, you know, hurts me, and I know hurts all Tipperary hurling supporters. And I suppose, as I said, it's not about blame game. It's about trying to find solutions that this doesn't happen again.
And you probably imagine that they're going to continue training for the next couple of weeks because there is that potential of that Kerry game, as we were saying, Willie.
Yeah, no, look, a very, very difficult place as regards for panel. Like, you know, this is, you know, losing four games and being in a potential, even, it's not even a fixture at the moment. So it's a very, very difficult place. Everyone's very disappointed. I'm sure the players are the most disappointed in all of this. Like, you know, no one goes out to lose matches in that way, especially particularly in Thurles, which is, you know, very, very proud hurling people in Tipperary. And I know, as I said, everybody's hurting at the moment. So, all you know, I just hope the players, I suppose, take a few days to reflect on what's after happening. But if it's to be against Kerry in that relegation promote, that's a huge game for us, and it's about just getting the job done and moving on and trying to take the learnings out of what's after happening.
Clare have been the team of the Munster Championship, obviously topping the group on 9 points. But the job Brian Lohan is doing here, Niall, it really has set it up nicely now for the Munster final.
Yeah, things have fallen into place for Clare. I suppose the form over the last couple of weeks has been exceptional. And I suppose, look, you have to put a lot of that improvement down to the nature of the personnel that have come back in, like, and obviously Shane Lannan, Peter Logan, former Dave Fitzgerald. And I suppose, look, they're a united bunch. I don't know how much they're doing things differently to what they've done in the last couple of years. But I do know they kind of have that kind of siege mentality back within themselves. And I suppose, like, for a lot of those guys, they're working and living in around Limerick, and they're hearing the noisy neighbours, and Man City, Man United. And I suppose that hurts, like, you know. That does hurt. And I suppose they're kind of listening to the pre-championship predictions and nobody's putting them in. And I'm sure they're kind of, Brian is kind of harbouring that kind of emotion within them, and they just seem a lot better organised than what they have been previously as well, on puckouts and stuff. But look, Clare have gone away from having small lines hurling for them, and even if you look at their underage sides, they've gone to a situation where they're going for big six-footers, and straight away physically they're in a position that they can compete. And I think, like Willie touched on it there at Tipperary about being, I suppose one thing about being probably unfit, but again, physically commanding, you'd have to argue that they may not be as physically commanding, even like Mark Keogh, Jake Morris, they're still light kind of hurlers. And I think Clare kind of got for it. Well, within reason, they still have a couple of guys, Robin Mounsey and Ryan Taylor, Shane Lannan, obviously, they're still smaller in height. But generally, they're kind of bigger lads that they're going for. So, yeah, look, they've done very, very well. But it's amazing how the narrative can turn in the championship here in a week or two's time. And if the Munster final went against Clare and they got knocked out in a qualifier, all of a sudden the narrative is quite different. Same with Kilkenny. Like, the narrative in Kilkenny at the moment is quite negative. Yet, if Kilkenny win the Leinster final, they're now in Northern semi-final, step away from it. So, you just, again, Paul, you just have to be very careful in today's society. Like, we rush for a headline story, or like as Willie was saying there, I know, like, do you know what I mean? He was quoted for one comment that people just want a headline act, when in reality what he was saying was probably that didn't go along the tones of it. So we just have to be very, very careful in building Clare up as well. But one thing about them is Limerick don't particularly like playing that Clare team. That is one, like, and I know when it came to the 18 All-Ireland, like afterwards, in the months afterwards, a lot of Limerick lads would have said they much preferred to be playing Galway in that 18 final than Clare. So Clare would be well aware of that too. And they haven't won a Munster final since 98. So if they were to get that one win and nothing else came of the year, well, it'd be a more successful year.
And the versatility is something they've really changed up this year, Graeme. Moving Shane O'Donnell out to wing forward, putting a man like Peter Duggan, I suppose, who originally played wing forward, onto the edge of the square, moving John Conlon back to six.
Yeah, you would have to say, like, that after the first season or whatever there of Brian Lohan, you know, this time last year we were saying that Clare weren't in great shape, their underage teams weren't in great shape, and look at us now, you know, a year later, their underage structures seem to be in good shape, they're seen flying. They've got all the boxes ticked. They've moved Shane O'Donnell here. They've Peter Duggan back. They've John Conlon in six. So like Paul, you know yourself, you've seen it over the years. It doesn't take long for you to go from hero to zero and the other way as well, you know, and the same as Tipperary, you know. Tipperary or Hurling County, like, no matter what anyone says, and you'll find at this time next year there'll be a different animal. They'll do a bit in soul searching, and what do you see? But getting back to it, Lowen's done an unbelievable job, and like if you think back to what they're doing there with Shane O'Donnell in around the half forward line, his movement is unreal, and someone has to pick him up ultimately. So if you've Dermot Burns looking after Tony Kelly, and you have number six, what do you call the captain, that has to mark Shane O'Donnell, that's a serious movement around that Limerick half-back line, having to chase those two guys or three guys. So Lohan seems to have his tactics well sorted out. And I think everyone in the country is sort of setting up their teams to try to beat Limerick. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see down the line. And I do think like Limerick in the past three or four seasons are not comfortable with Clare, but it remains to be seen. It sets it up for an unreal Munster final. I think it's a brilliant, like, and it's going to be unreal Munster final. Like,
Graham, I'm going to make one argument there, and it's true for you. Limerick aren't comfortable with Clare, but in particular they're not comfortable with Tony Kelly. And so it's one thing with Limerick is phenomenally, teams are replicating what they're doing tactically and all the rest, but Limerick kind of left with a conundrum the last day. Nobody picked up Tony Kelly, right? And he was allowed, basically Limerick backs were looking at each other, looking at the sideline and said, "Lads, who's picking him up here?" Right? And again, there would have been huge learnings for that in Limerick. And again, who are any of us to criticise the management or trainers, whatever it is, but Limerick, I feel they do need to detail somebody to take out, to mark Tony, no matter where he goes. And if that's going back to what isn't a very fashionable idea of a sweeper, to me, I think it would solve a lot of Limerick's problems that you put Dan Morrissey picking Tony Kelly up as a man marker, because Dan would be comfortable in full back line, half back line. Get Kyle Hayes back to wing back, because Kyle is not comfortable full forward at the moment. And for Limerick, we don't have enough forwards to go around to be in a position to drop the likes of a Dan Morrissey or whoever to facilitate moving Kyle to the half-back line. And I think for the game that's coming up in the Munster final, I think that would tie down Tony. I think it might set up a little bit of space up front, whereby you probably leave someone like, I don't know, maybe Paul Flanagan, one of these lads who would prefer to mark and try and leave them free. And I do think like Limerick might have to just swallow the pride a little bit to tie him down in that context. And I think if they did that, I do think they'd be a hell of a lot more comfortably set up at the back.
And like, Willie, just to finish on Clare, like, it's hard to believe this time last year, like, there was question marks over Brian Lohan's future.
Absolutely. Look, he's answered everything, and Niall's brother James and the whole backroom team have galvanized, I suppose, what they've had. They've had a winter of discontent as well, as regards away from the hurling pitch, which I'm sure, you know, they've used it just to galvanize themselves and to really kind of, I suppose, knowing that Peter Duggan was back, Shane O'Donnell is back from, I suppose, progressive injuries, a few younger fellas coming through. They have a really, really solid looking half back line with Cleary McInerney and Dermot Ryan. Their full back line was really impressive today, the play tape. And I don't know whether that was, I just saw him up close and real pace in the two corners and Flanagan. So I think, look, it's a credit from where they came from, because again, at the start of the season, nobody was predicting Clare would be the third team that were on top of the group after the four games. So look, credit to them. They put in an unbelievable performance, albeit against a Waterford team that had down tools at that stage last weekend. But look, they're in great shape. They're looking for, as I said, a Munster final for the first time since 98. I think they'll give it a right rattle. But as Niall said there, I think Limerick will have learned from, I suppose, what happened in the first game. And it's just a fascinating contest, because, again, do Limerick go with the seven to negate against Tony Kelly and have someone just go with them? Or do they kind of continue on as they are, and Tony Kelly drifting into pockets of space with no one picking him? Same thing happened with Ger Brown in the first half against Limerick for Tipperary, as regards picking scores in that pocket. Dermot Burns didn't go with him, and it hurts. So look, Clare will have learned, I suppose, from that, but so will Limerick. And that's what makes this contest so fascinating, that it's a real hurling battle because there's two teams here and genuinely it's a 50-50 game in my eyes with the way Clare have gone so far.
And Niall, just on Limerick, like they obviously didn't play over the weekend, but the injuries, I suppose, with Peter Casey obviously hasn't played this year, but Cathal O'Neill and Keane Lynch in particular, like, do you feel Limerick need one of those two back for the Clare game? You probably won't have the two of them in the one team just with the way Limerick 2 set up.
Yeah, you'd hope they should have one of them back. Obviously, Aaron has a big last day, but plus you just have to get on with it. Plus the one indispensable that I continue to say with Limerick is Nicky Quaid. Like, and Graham attests, like it's so hard for top goalies to get their puck out of the way at the moment. And I actually think maybe in Graham, you probably have a dearth of top class goalies at the moment. Like, take Owen Murphy and Nicky out of it. Like, do you know what I mean? You'd have to argue Tipperary goalkeeper was suspect the last day. To me, like, not having Stephen O'Keefe in that Waterford goals, I don't think it helped their cause. And I said that from day one. I didn't feel the Waterford going to win all Ireland without him. And his first phone call, if Liam Cadd is to go back, his first phone call I'd be making is to get him back. Because like you're saying about the boys, like Aaron would be a huge addition back because Aaron is a major threat up front, especially in a situation where Shammy Flanagan probably hasn't hit form at all because he's in the run of it. PD Casey won't be back. Like Graham Moyle, to be fair to him, like, you know, you can't expect a whole pile more of a guy after what he's given. So, like, Limerick, we're a little bit blunt up front. Against Clare at last, so he'd be a major guy to get back. And I don't think he'd be back, so, like, obviously to get Cahill back again. But yeah, it's interesting. I do think there's piranhas in the water that Limerick are going to meet yet. I think they're going to beat Clare in this game because it's going to turn up to be a massive occasion. That's a ticket situation even here in Limerick at the moment is starting to turn into a little bit of frenzy. And sure, once Clare get a bit of cider into them and get somebody driving the cars, they'll be gone for 3 or 4 days as well. So it's going to be a massive occasion. Graham, you might even make a visit down yourself.
Oh yeah, hopefully get down to it now. And Paul will get us all a couple of tickets. No, but there's a I know Limerick have always liked Sean Finnan close to goals, but you know, would you wonder? I know club hurling's totally different. I know Joe McDonagh hurling's totally different, but wouldn't you love to see Sean Finn up against Tony Kelly for an hour? You know, just as from a supporter's point of view, just go right. Sean, your detail today is Mark and Tony Kelly. Like, and I often wondered, like, you know, could Sean Finn do a man marking job on Tony Kelly out the field, lads? You know, and I know it upsets your full back line and that security of him in there for maybe cutting out goals and stuff and maybe being that extra bit of security. But Jesus, it's going to be interesting to see. And I agree with you, lads. I think there'll be a serious. I think during the year Limerick have sort of even though Niall wouldn't say it, like, you know, but I think Limerick have done a little observation of what teams are doing against them to negate them a bit, so they're elected in that sort of forum. But it'll be interesting to see on the day. But I would love to know what way that would go with Sean Finn up against Tony Kelly for an hour. Would Connor and the guys, you know, upset their full back line that way?
Is that something you could see Limerick try and do, Willie?
Possibly, yeah. Like, I suppose Limerick have a lot of options as regards even that full back line area of Richie English, who has played very little hurling. I suppose raring to go, and Niall will be closer to it than I would as regards, but, you know, Richie English, top player as well. So, yeah, I think they have options, which is always a good thing. And I probably no doubt with Paul Kinnark and John Kiley and his team, they'll have, I suppose, all these scenarios discussed, and they'll do what's best for them without, I suppose, being too transformative in the setup. So look, it's just fascinating. I think it's something that hurling fans up and down the country will crave as regards potentially a full house in Thurles for Clare and Limerick. It's going back to the summer of 95 and that real hot day, and they're the games, I suppose, that we all remember. And I think it's fascinating. I think Limerick will have something, because it just, in my mind, Limerick are not holding back and not, I suppose, being cute in any shape or form, but I think there's a lot more in this Limerick team. I think they got what they wanted out of the league, blooded a few players, had a few good nights, had a few bad nights, and I think they're really set up for a tilt at this, because three in a row is something that hasn't been, this is really, really big, and on Limerick's I suppose objectives, that they want to do something major. And having won, I suppose, three out of four, they're going for the three in a row now. And I think, they look well placed. I agree again with Niall that there is, I suppose, piranhas, as he put it, in the water. I don't think it'll be as straightforward as that. But I just think, this Munster final, get a performance and they're set up for a semi-final. They're two games away from their goal. And I wouldn't back against them. But at the same time, there's obstacles to be overcome before then.
Third place was obviously Cork, who would enter at the All-Ireland preliminary quarterfinal stage. Graham, what have you made of the way Cork have turned the season around in the last two games?
It's been a great turnaround for them, and like at the end of the day, the first match, Limerick was always going to be a tough game for them, and they went into the Waterford game then, and it was sort of like a toss of a coin, really. They were, doubting themselves nearly, and they came out on the right side of it. So the momentum's with Cork. Realistically, Paul, you would see them in winning that game probably in the quarterfinal or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see, or the beating the Joe McDonagh champions or runners up, whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see. But they're going to have serious momentum behind them, but think that they're going to have to get their team settled. They're going to have to get their forward line settled, because some of these teams, the Clares, the Waterfords, the Kilkennys, the Galways, aren't going to be easy beaten. It's knocked out then, and the intensity will be up in them games, etc. So remains to be seen, Paul, to be honest with you. After their win against Waterford, you'd wonder, were Waterford right, after that, but brilliant performance against Tip the weekend. There's no problem with that, but I thought Tip were lethargic too and just didn't strike the heights that you expect from Tip, So be interesting to see, Paul.
My last time you were on the podcast, we were talking about Cork defensively, and I suppose, like all of us, you did have your concerns about Cork defensively. In the last two games, do you feel they have solved some of them issues?
No, I don't. Kieran Joyce is a better centre-back, but defensively, like, Tip still scored 124 in the last day. I wouldn't be getting carried away with them. You have to admire them for not throwing in the towel. I suppose that's indicative of definitely Kieran Kingston. I hold him in very, very high esteem. I admire the way he carries himself. I admire the fact that he came back to try and finish the job with that group. He's never once thrown his group under the bus when they have let him down. But defensively, are they any better? No, I still thought Tip could have got at them a little bit more the last day, and that was a Tip forward line that was, was weak enough, to be honest. Tip still had him for 1-3 doors, and you had that 60-second swing. If Cork hadn't got that initiative, could Cork have struggled for the remainder of the game? Quite possibly. So I, for one, won't be getting carried away with Cork. I still think there's a lot of collateral damage there. And I'm delighted for their own sakes that they're kind of getting a bit of a resurgence of such. But I still don't think they'll have enough to get over the real contenders for Ireland when it comes to it. And defensively, they're not strong enough. Defensively, the full back isn't strong enough. And Kieran Joyce still, Noel McGrath still played a lot of ball the last day at 31 years of age. And if you put a Keane Lynch in and Kieran Joyce, or even a Kyle Mannion, I think they'd eat him.
And do you still think there's a vulnerability there with them, Willie?
Yeah, I suppose very much so. We scored 1-3 and we could have been 7-up before that. I suppose 60-second swing of Connolly getting the ball in the net. So I think very much so. I think they just don't seem like. Yes, they played very, very well the weekend, but I put that down to us being very, very poor. And just the level of pace and athleticism throughout the Cork team. And look, that's a positive. But you go back to pre these two last victories for them as regards the All-Ireland last year. They were obliterated. Game over at halftime. The league final, absolutely blown out of it. First round of the championship against Limerick in their home patch, blown out of it. So I think, there's still huge question marks. But I think they've answered not their critics, but at the same time they've put a bank of work together. They've put two good performances together, albeit again against a Cork Tipperary team and a Waterford team that had, as I said, down tools. So I think they'll fancy their chances. Yes, but I think when the real heat is turned up, I don't think they'll be there when it's a Limerick or a Clare or a Galway or a Kilkenny or whoever that is. I think they'll have too much for them, and I think. As Niall said, defensively, there's too many question marks. And Mark Coleman's beautiful ball player, left half back. But at the same time, if a Keane Lynch, as Niall said, goes in there, or some other, I suppose, big, big Limerick player goes in on Kieran Joyce, it'd be a massive test. He could come up to it, yes. But I don't know. As a defensive unit, I don't think they're there yet. And I think when the heat is turned up, as I said, they'll be found wanting.
Has there been an improvement in attack, though, working harder, do you feel, Willie?
Yeah, definitely. Like I just loved Alan Connolly's goal as regards, loved it from a perspective of a non-Tipperary supporter. But at the same time, when you reflect on what he did, he nearly went out over the top of Greg Morgan. He was going for the goal and his finish was absolutely impeccable. Also, Conor Lehan, I suppose, has been the story last weekend, but we didn't lay a glove on him. Everybody knows Conor Lehan is an absolutely brilliant stick man, but he looked like Christy Ring on Sunday because, again, we stood off him. I think in the first 15 minutes, he had seven possessions. Like, it was just, he was everywhere. But again, we were so far off him. I'm not sure. I still think possibly, in my opinion, I like Jack O'Connor. I suppose he would be in my team as regards, but I don't know what's happening down there. There have been improvements. Offensively, they're strong. They have a lot of athletic fellas. But at the same time, I think that defensive Achilles heel will come back to haunt them.
Moving on to Leinster. Graham, I want to bring you in here. You're obviously previously part of Matty Kenny's setup with Dublin. They've missed out on getting out of Leinster. What do you feel went wrong from knowing this group?
Lads, it's hard to know what was going on today. The management group, that some good performance in the league and some poor, So, do Dublin have the scoring forwards that Kilkenny, Galway, Wexford have? I don't think so. I don't think they've enough firepower up front, to be quite honest. I think that. Ronan Hayes has been injured a couple of games, or a game probably hinders them a bit. They're just not playing up front with the same style, as the other teams. Paul, that's just my opinion, I think that it's very hard to break into that Galway Kilkenny setup, and then it's a shoot themselves and Wexford. And as you've seen in the Munster Championship, it's not very easy to you have to be firing on all cylinders and really, really on top of your game during these games. And I don't think Dublin were, and I don't think anybody will have any qualms about them not finishing in the top three. I don't know, Paul. It's a good question.
The forwards there, do you think? Because that's what the big thing is this week, people questioning this Dublin forward unit.
I know there was talk of Conn coming in, and he's come out and said, listen, that was never going to happen, sort of thing. And if you're relying on somebody that's not there to come in for a championship, where are you at? I do know Trollier wasn't there for a couple of games, was coming on and off as a sub. Ronan Hayes is a real quality player. They have the players, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking for them, And I do think they have the players, and even at club level, you can see yourself that there's some serious players within them, the Dublin County club level, but I just think they just haven't struck like your Wexford, Kilkenny, Galway forwards are dangerous, you know, and I don't think Dublin have that.
Third place, obviously Wexford picked that up, Niall, and like they really had to dig deep and go and get a result against Kilkenny in Northern Park, and like Darry Egan and his group deserve massive credit because there was a lot of criticism from that Westmead draw.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and I suppose again, they looked at the turnaround quite different to what Waterford did. I suppose they said, "Hey, we've 7 days, let's get it right," and straight away. The language out from the Wexford camp is very, very positive, right? And like sometimes I feel there that you can try to be overly harsh on your players publicly, and sometimes maybe that justifies the crowd or the supporters' criticism. So basically, if they hear you criticising your players, they say, yeah, he's exactly right, he's right. Whereas Darry Egan didn't publicly, he kept his powder dry. He turned it around, and straight away the narrative in Wexford was, "Well, we like playing Kilkenny." Okay, and they turned it into a positive straight away, what was coming. And like again, they went to Nolan Park, they outworked them. I would say that Hook's Black's tackles, even going by Sky Sports after a bit, what was it, 43 to 31 or whatever it was, they had beaten them by 30% on it. But I want to say one thing, they had just in Lee Chin, they had a totem defender. A totem midfielder, somebody who you could just hang the ball down top of their head. And even Conor McDonald, he wasn't massive, like, do you know what I mean? But still, he's the guy that you can go to. And if you're asking, like, the boys obviously know more about the Dublin setup than what I do. Obviously, Willie was with Kula and Graham's involved with Matty. But one thing I see that Dublin are lacking from what they would have had 7 or 8 years ago, they had likes of Conal Keeney. Ryan Dwyer was massive for that particular group. He was just a pig of a forward. They needed it and they didn't have it now. Whereas I think in Wexford case, to be fair to Conor McDonald and Lee Chin, they have guys who can just put the hand up and go at it. And like there was a 20-minute period there, they just needed that presence and he came right. And then the other end of the pitch then you had Damien Rick or whatever else, like, and he's a very, very underrated player. Like some of those Wexford backs are fairly underrated, like for what they contribute. And you have to admire them. This was, but they reached into their DNA. All right. Sometimes, you know, all this methodical planning and everything else and S&Cs and blah, 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 like, don't forget who you are. And, like, again, going back to the Tipperary situation, sign up for Happen Back, but we were reared here in Tipperary and we love Tipperary hurling in our house. And the DNA of Tipperary hurling isn't with the players that are there at the moment. It was in the Pádraig Maher's and Brendan's and all these guys. I don't see that DNA in the current crop. And for Wexford, in their case, they reached into what made Wexford people 1798 rebellion. We'd fight on our backs with our forks. And you know what? And I know it might sound old school, but sometimes that's the best weapon in their arsenal. And they went there and they brought that. And do you know what? If they had to play Antrim in the morning above in Carling Park, I wouldn't be putting my money in Wexford. And that isn't the very same thing. They came with what they won. But again, I just, when the fight was there, they had to bring it, but I still don't particularly trust them. I don't. If they had to go up to Carrigan Park and Darren Gleeson has his work done, just watch that one.
And Willie, like, you're obviously based in Kilkenny at the minute. Like what's the reaction there? I suppose having come out on the wrong side against Wexford and Galway.
Yeah, but I think there was only going to be one winner, and in that match, if that match had gone another hour, Wexford would have won by more. They were just fighting for everything, and there was a huge aggression in everything they did. And as Niall said, they reached into who they were to produce a performance that ultimately kept them in the championship. Like, their backs were completely to the wall. The game was nearly over as regards. And, you know, they produced on the biggest day. I just thought it was interesting as regards from the Kilkenny perspective and how Richie Reid, Paddy Deegan just kept lamping the ball after ball, 100 yards down the field. Wexford had the comfort of numbers in that area, and these long balls coming down suited them all day. Like for each of those, you know, for putting the ball down the field, Wexford launched nearly a counter attack off the majority of them. So I think Kilkenny, where they have flipped between trying to go short and trying to go long over the last, I suppose, weeks and months, when the pressure came on the weekend, and whether, again, they knew they were in a Leinster final, I don't know. But at the same time, they really went back to root one ball. And I think that's the concern of a lot of Kilkenny supporters. I was even talking to tonight that just that they were given too many chances to Wexford to compete under the ball. Wexford, we all know Kilkenny have unbelievable stickmen, unbelievable hurlers. And it was just another point as regards from that match. Like, Alan Murphy had a pain in his hand from having it up and looking for short ball off the half-back line. And instead, it went out over his head the majority of the time. So, and then they took him off after 40 minutes. And I was kind of going, geez, that guy was hard done by, in my opinion, as regards that he was looking for the ball short all the time and the ball kept going long. So maybe, look, he needed to, I suppose, change what he was doing, but he was trying to do the right thing for the team and, I suppose, trying to draw Wexford out, which Kilkenny didn't do. But I think... plus, and I suppose on two snapshots, like the Owen Murphy save was just probably the best save I've ever seen as regards with the quality of the keeper that he is, as Niall has spoken about earlier with Nicky Quaid and himself. And also the save from TJ Reid's pull by Rec was just different gravy as well. So look, it was a game, albeit, you know, probably not at the intensity of, as we discussed, the Munster Championship, but it had everything in a Wexford Kilkenny match that you'd want. And as a Tipperary man, a Wexford victory is probably what I wanted, like, you know.
And Willie, you just mentioned there caught between two styles. Is there anything they can do to change that? Like, because it does really seem to be an issue with Kilkenny.
It does, and it'll be more interesting as regards in the Leinster final in Croke Park against Galway. So, like, you know, where that would be, you know, it'll be. There's no point putting the ball down on half a spare defender, particularly in Croke Park. So, yeah, it will be very interesting to see. I don't think they'll change. I genuinely think they'll. It'll be a full press. It'll be, you know, lamp the ball in. See, can you win the ball? And look, with Owen Cody and these players, as regards TJ Reid, you always have a chance of winning that high ball. But look, if anyone wants to know, I suppose, how to play against Kilkenny, it'll be very much Henry Shefflin. So I think very, very interesting Leinster final. I think, look, Galway to me are favourites, unless Kilkenny. And look, who am I to back against or predict against Kilkenny when, I suppose, Limerick were turned over 2 years or 3 years ago? It was Kilkenny that did it. And even winning back-to-back Leinster finals in the last couple of years is testament, I suppose, to the spirit they have in their group. So I think they have to change to get the biggest prize, but I don't think they will. So I it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the coming weeks.
Graham, coming from the Goalkeepers Union, you'd be proud of that one if you're Owen Murphy.
Oh, yeah. And like, if you think back to some of the that he's made over the years, like, he is something else. Like, his reactions are just unbelievable. He's cat-like. His distribution is unreal. You know, oh, he's something else, lads. He must be the best keeper in Ireland. But him and Nicky Quaid, there's not much between them. He's just something else, and he stood up strong like another keeper would have backed off, and you know, he just stood up strong, and he continues to do that all the time. The saves he makes is unbelievable. Like, you know, any normal goalkeeper can only dream of making saves like that, to be quite honest with you. Like, so like the two guys were saying there, a couple of moments in that game, the block from Shane Reck was something else as well. Like, and then the pick up and then the pass, like, you know, I thought it was an outstanding game, you know, and it's going to be an interesting Leinster final as well, lads. You know, the tactics, the handshake, all sort of stuff. It's interesting again before the match, they shake hands after the match. Or, you know, it's going to be something, you know. No, Owen Murphy's something else. And, you know, he keeps saying and getting off to a different trajectory. Like, a lot of these top goalkeepers do a lot of playing outfield for the, you know, and it's I see under 14 and under 16 managers ringing me and looking goalkeeping sessions with under 14 keepers and under 16 keepers and maybe the wee heavy guys throwing goals like myself 20 years ago. But I still think doing a lot of stuff outfield is very, very good for any young keeper. I know we're getting off the what you're asking me, Paul, but Owen Murphy, apparently, well, you would tell me better, but apparently he's an outstanding outfield player at club level down in Kilkenny. So I think that's not a I don't think that's a fluke by fluke either. I think it's very good for any young keeper coming up through, play a bit outfield, get used to the footwork, the movement, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, and just on that point, Graeme, sorry, he won a Fitzgibbon at centre-back, I think, in 2013 with WIT, like, so, or sorry, centre-back. So, like, that's testament to the quality of the player that he is. And yeah, he plays out the field, but we're actually playing Glenmore in the fourth round here at Kilkenny, so he'll be one to watch. But I take your point, and unbelievable, and a really kind of competent player, as I said, to win a Fitzgibbon centre-back is no mean achievement.
Niall, just with Kilkenny, were you surprised to see Pádraig Walsh left on the bench and not brought on to the 67th minute, I think it was?
Yeah, again, I meant to ask, was there an issue there? Was there an injury there? But if he was fully fit and they didn't bring him on, then it seems it's kind of a strange decision that way, because he has obviously been excellent at the moment. Just even going back to Willie, he don't seem comfortable at any level playing the new style game. And I don't know, does that come down that they have such a superior skill set that if you're dealing with a team that had a superior skill set, i.e. their aerial ability and obviously their ability to strike under pressure and fight, that, Johnny, it may be something that doesn't go up along the lines, whereas maybe lesser counties, and I put Limerick in that as we were moving along, maybe you had to coach them to that level, whereas Kilkenny, even in the 20s final the last day, and John, obviously they won it, but they didn't seem comfortable with it. It was only that they just really, like, do you know what I mean? It was their fight and battle, and how they never let Limerick hurl it, won it more so than being tactically so astute. And, like, again, they just don't seem comfortable with it. And I don't think Cody is comfortable with it either. And I'm sure, again, like that, Owen Murphy could have been told, hey, you got to start lamping the ball. Like, so it is an issue for them when they come up against the better teams. But the only thing is, I sometimes think, like, Kilkenny went back to what they were good at when they beat Limerick again. I know we're referring to Limerick here again, but when they beat Limerick in 19, it was Kilkenny doing what they're best at, as opposed to embracing new styles and techniques. And they just don't look comfortable with it. And if a team isn't comfortable with something, well, just trust what you're good at and take it to another level. And so, crowd that middle third, and they may still have got the same results, like, you know. You're either committed to doing something, or you're not, and I don't think Kilkenny are committed at any level to the new style game, to the point whereby when the pressure comes on, they keep going back to their old, to what they've always been good at.
Do you feel Galway are favourites going into the Leinster final night?
I'm wary of them. I haven't seen them properly in person since they played Limerick. I'm very, very wary of Galway here, lads. I think, and again, look, as Willie knows, the boys over, Richie O'Neill and Shefflin, I know Richie, but I wouldn't know Shefflin personally, but they're very, very smart guys, lads. And like, they have a team that are saying to themselves, like, they went up in the 2020 semi-final against Limerick, and only for Canning going off that day, they'd have beaten Limerick that day above in Croke Park, right? And last year, just the wheels kind of fell off the wagon above them in Thurles today against Waterford. It's just whatever happened in the first 15, 20 minutes, they never turned up. I'm very wary of them. If you ask me, the team that will beat Limerick, I think it's Galway, the team that will beat them. Because I think physically, if they're at their peak at that right time, they have the aerial ability, they have the ability on the ground. Like, Conor Whelan, that's going well. He's unstoppable as a forward. I just think they haven't got to their peak just yet. And I think they're motoring along nicely here. They're doing what they had to do in the games in Leinster so far. And if they beat Kilkenny, they have two cup finals. I said this before, they have two cup finals to win. I'm very wary of them. I think they're a team that will beat Limerick in Northern if it comes to it. And I think they could actually beat Kilkenny without having to be at full tilt. And I think they will have enough to try and beat them. And yeah, I'm wary of them. I'm very, very wary of them. But again, my issue with them, and Graeme again, is keeper. I think the keeper today, they went up in 20. And Anna Murphy, I when the pressure comes on his puck outs, when he's pushed up in his puck outs, I think he's a little bit brittle. Because Patrick Collins is brittle in that context, even Aver Quilligan, a lot of goalies when they're pushed on. The only goalie, to be honest, I think that when he's put under that pressure and still put it off is Nicky. I think when the real squeeze is on all these goalies, I think Nicky is the only, I would say that Nicky is probably the only one. But I do think they're a team that there's a kick in them, because my one fear for Limerick, as well as the Piranhas, I thought Limerick looked a bit leggy in the last 10 minutes against Clare. I thought, and like, there's miles on the clock there, whether you like it or not. And I think Galway are a little bit fresher in the sense of the last couple of years they haven't been at the business end. I do think they might have that little bit of freshness in that context that Limerick won't.
Yeah, and just sorry on that point, I think it was very much with the momentum with Henry and the group. I said Richie O'Neill, also Jamie and Joyce, who, you know, another unbelievable individual who you know, we would have played Fitzgibbon together in WIT as well, and like just real, you know, quality men. But I think there's a huge momentum there, and plus I think the handshake afterwards. I think Henry came out of that, you know, in good shape as regards held his powder dry. I think. No, there'll be a lot riding on this Leinster final, and there'll be a lot of, I suppose, things like that, the Cody Shefflin factor. But I think Henry is clever enough, like he was on the sideline in Pearce Stadium after a very tense game. Just, you know, didn't react, didn't do anything. And I think that if his team performs like that on Leinster final day, I think they'll be very, very difficult to stop.
So the number two for you as well, Willie.
Yeah, I think like I suppose referencing that 2020 final or semi-final, Limerick were in a good bit of bother with Galway that day. I think, yeah, you know, one of the contenders could be one of the piranhas as we discussed earlier. But I think, look, there's a lot of hurling to be played in the next couple of weeks, and it's injuries will play a big part in that as well. Full squads. If Limerick get all their boys back, they'll be a serious. They'll give it a serious tilt in Croke Park, and it's it's, you need everything to go with you, and I think I suppose that's what Limerick are hoping for, a clear run at this and to avoid any further injuries and get their players back. But Galway are a really, really good team. And I think the Henry factor can't be minimised in any way. His prowess on the field has been reflected in his fledging managerial career to date. And I think Galway will be in good shape in a Leinster final.
And number two for you as well, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, you could even say they're number one if you were listening to Niall there, like half of Limerick's injured. Peter Casey won't be back. Cian Lynch won't be back. You know, so it's nearly on the day, like, you know. But no, seriously, Rory Jacobs said a few years ago or a few weeks ago that every year Galway's one of the favourites for the All-Ireland because they just have that ability. Like, and Rory's 100% right. Sure, the last 4 or 5 years, they were always a team that every fan was sort of thinking, geez, they could upset the odds here, or they could. So there's that ability in Galway, lads. It's like Will says there, can Henry get it right on the day and sort of time has run well, and you know, a big part of the hurling at the level that you guys are hurling at is keeping your players injury. You know, at that level, the real quality players, when it comes down to a Munster final or a quarter final or an All-Ireland semi-final, you need those quality players, your best players on the pitch. And I think that's what Limerick has done well over the last 2 or 3 years. In sort of full strength going in at every level, you know, and they're bringing the subs on that are serious operators, like. So it'll be interesting to see. I think if Limerick and Galway have their full strength teams throughout the rest of the year, I think it'll be probably those are the two teams you'll be looking at. Like,
and just to finish, lads, it wouldn't be right without saying on the podcast, Niall, the result Westmeath pulled off at the weekend to stay in the Leinster Championship and the manner they bet Leashin was probably one of the most impressive results over the weekend.
Yeah, they really cleaned them out in the second half, but. So as number one, you just argued that Leash have been so incompetent for most of the championship. Again, look, they had a few injuries and things like that, but it just seemed that the heart was kind of blown out of them. And this was the converse then, as Westmeath, excellent league performance, league final above in Thurles. They were brilliant. And again, Graham, you probably know more about them than I would. You might have seen them, obviously, in Division 2 or whatever. But they're excellent. And I liked Joe Fortune. He seemed a good guy in the line. Again, I suppose if you're trying to read between the lines, you'd say there's a good setup there. And I suppose a lot of those guys would have played Fitzgibbon. I would have come across them in UCG, the Mitchells and O'Briens and all these guys. And obviously, we're hearing more about the two Doyle brothers as well. So like, they have an excellent side there. Obviously, they've had an impressive year. Yeah, so yeah, did well.
To finish on 3 points as well, Willie, not many people were predicting that.
No, not at all. I think the draw against Wexford was the standard result for them in the year. And then obviously that performance last week to relegate Laois was, you know, they wanted to stay in the division and they did so. So, look, credit to Joe Fortune. I know him well. Intense character, had huge success with Dublin underage and Ballyboden leading them to a county final. So, look, this is the next step in his journey. And I think he's done very, very well. Very organised, very passionate, and very, you know, he knows what he wants and how to get it. So I think, yeah, he'll be delighted with 3 points. Albeit, I suppose, yeah, no, it'll be it's been a very good year to date for them, and yeah, I know he'll be delighted.
Graham, as well, to finish, Antrim and Offaly in the Joe McDonagh final. Obviously, great to have an Ulster side there as well, and I suppose good news over the weekend with Down surviving in the Joe Mac.
Well, Antrim and Kerry, you know, I would say awfully are very disappointed not getting there, like, but you know, so it's gonna be interesting to see. Yeah, down a good couple of good results, you know, good couple of good performances. Kerry away, you know, which was a huge thing for Kerry, but our huge things were down, like, you know, to beat Kerry away from home. But Paul. It's very hard for some of the, what would you say, a weaker county coming in there and for two or three seasons. If you think back to Laois, when I was in Dublin 2019, Laois beat Dublin 2019 and went in through to an All-Ireland corner final against Tip, and Laois couldn't sustain that for them a couple of years, you know, so it is very difficult for Westmeath and Furness have had a Joe Fortune, brilliant organiser, brilliant manager in Ballyboden, fresh ideas, and the players have probably bought into it, you know. So you have that scenario, I think, Paul, with Westmeath. And next year it'll be even harder for me. It'll be even harder for the Westmeath to indent and get better as the Leinster Championship goes on. The Joe McDonagh has been very good now for Hurling, because I've been at a lot of matches, your Offaly's, your Kerry's, but it's very disappointing for Laois Hurling. Laois Hurling, everyone, all of us would have thought was on an upward trajectory, and now that's them down now next year, you know, so disappointing. And I think that, you know, again, you're talking about development of Hurling. I don't think that develops Hurling, Laois come down again, you know, they probably knew the thing with like talked about. Tip knew the scenario with their set up in the championship, and so did Laois. So disappointing, but down at a good season, Paul. They came straight up from Christy Ring and Division 2B, and they stayed in Division 2A, and they sustained their Joe McDonagh for next year. So again, it'll be hard for them next year to kick on a bit. You know, you need fresh ideas and you need fresh things, I think, if your sort of team get into these championships.
Big congratulations to Kildare as well, who won the Chris Ring, Tyrone, who won the Nicky Record, and Louth, who won the Larry Mayor. We'll hope to talk to some of their players later on in the month. But that's all on our Hurling show for this evening. Thanks a million for your time, lads.
Thanks a million.